This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey hun, it's me, Danielle. I am a licensed clinical mental health counselor, and I'm here to talk about all the ways multi-level marketing and mental health do not mix. It is important to know that this podcast is not meant to diagnose or for treatment. This podcast is based off of personal experiences and opinions, and is meant to educate and entertain. Now sit back and start healing with me on this episode of From Huns to Humans.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of From Huns to Humans. I am, as always, so excited to have this episode today. As you may or may not know, these are the final episodes of the podcast, and today I decided to bring back my plexi bestie, Emma. And I thought that this would be a really good way for us to kind of recap on our time out of MLMs and what our healing journeys have looked like. So these next episodes will kind of be a smorgasbord because me and Emma had very different healing journeys. So like this episode will probably focus more on Emma's journey and like how anti-MLM has like helped her and where she is now and what healing has looked like for her. As well as just like some info dumping. Like this is our last chance to like kind of empty out our brains on the podcast anyways of all of the information that we've collected and all of the things that we want you guys to know. And Emma specifically has a lot of information. She's done a lot of like really heavy work on her own and not in a public facing way. So I think that's really cool to have somebody on the podcast that didn't process their entire time publicly like I did. And I think that it's going to be really fun to like kind of contrast our experiences, info dump, share, laugh, cry with you all. So yeah, Emma, welcome back. Do you want to kind of let everyone know, in case somebody hasn't heard your old episodes, like, why are you here?
So my name's Emma. I am the plexi bestie. First of all, Danielle, I just want to start off and tell you how freaking proud I am of you. And we're probably going to start off like out of the gate with tears. It's been such a journey. I'm really excited to unpack it, but watching you and the way that you've transformed, and I keep finding myself going back to that initial conversation. We hadn't talked in a couple months, you know, we'd see each other on social media here and there and always kind of in each other's corner, but we hadn't, you know, when we had that conversation, you were like, I think you maybe had seen my post that I was leaving or had asked me, and I was like, I am very like not into MLMs anymore, and you're like, tell me more. And I could just tell you were ready, and then we had that conversation. And I just find myself going back to that and just seeing how far we've both come since that conversation. I was super fresh out of my MLM. I hadn't even started my deconstruction yet, but I knew just like in my heart of hearts that it wasn't for me anymore. And by sharing that with someone else who had also been feeling that way, MLMs teach us to compartmentalize. We aren't to talk to our downline. We aren't to talk to our sidelines. We are only to ever go to our uplines because that's where the control comes from. And having that conversation and realizing neither one of us were alone in those feelings was really important. And I'm so proud of both of us. I'm really proud of you for all the work and the effort that you've done. But I'm also really proud of you for staying true to what's true for you. And I have tried to hold you to that promise you made yourself. At the very beginning, one of your very first episodes, you said, I don't know where this is going to take me. This could be a few episodes. This could be a bunch of episodes, and I'll do it until I feel like my journey is complete. And I'm just really proud of you for recognizing that. I think it's really important. One thing that MLMs take away from us is our internal guidance system, our gut feeling, that beacon that we follow. And I think that's a really important part of a recovery journey, is kind of finding that light again and being able to trust yourself, because you go from someone else telling you what to do all the time to then now you have no one telling you what to do, but you've just left this really toxic thing. So how do you trust yourself to make a decision again? And finding that kind of internal guidance system for me has been a huge part of my journey leaving. And I'm just really proud of you for listening to that voice, and wherever it takes you, I know that you can trust that voice going forward. So I'm just really proud of you.
Thank you. That's so nice. Yeah. I think back to that initial conversation too often. I think that you had posted like publicly about like some of your mental health journey.
Yeah.
And that was why I initially reached out to you, because I was like, oof, me too. Yeah. And then, you know, I was like, oh, are you still doing Limelight?
Yeah. So
good time.
It's been a wild journey, but I'll give you guys a recap for those who haven't listened to my previous two or three. We think we've done three. Yeah. My previous episodes. they're all labeled Plexi Bestie. My name's Emma. I am a full-time nail tech. I own my own business now.
A real boss babe.
Yeah. Hashtag boss babe. I started in MLMs back in, I think it was 2016. I was 20, I believe. I'm 20, the math is not mathing. I was really young. I had just, you know, I had left high school. I had graduated from nail school. And I sort of attribute this time of transition to my vulnerability to getting into MLMs. I had played organized sports my entire life. I had always had a team. I had always, you know, been surrounded by women, and I get thrown into the world of cosmetology, and there's some really wonderful souls here, but there's also a lot of catty drama in some salons. So I go from having this like team unit from the time I was like 5 years old playing peewee basketball all the way up to high school. I go to school, I come into the salons, and the first couple that I worked in, it was just not a good fit. And I was feeling really, I was lacking community. I was lacking togetherness. I really was missing that organized team camaraderie. And hook, line, and sinker. The popular girl at school who never gave me the time of day reached out to me and told me how amazing I would be at this. And the rest was history. So that was Plexus.
So funny how like it's always the girl that like never gave you the time of day. And then like, we're like, oh my God, you see me? And it's like, they never actually really saw you. They're just like, oh, like we're Facebook friends. I remember seeing you in the hallway. Like, let me see if this will happen.
Yep. This girl in particular was friends with all those girls. She was never outwardly awful to me like her friends were, but she also never stopped it. It was such a wild experience of, again, it was this time of vulnerability. I was feeling lost, and it was the perfect time. The perfect time. And I spoke about this in the last episode. I don't even blame her. what did I refer to it as last time? Manipulation by proxy. She was just doing to me what other people did to her.
Right.
Yes, she was successful at it because of this influence she had, because of who she was before. I have come to know her more since then, and she is a wonderful human being. She is so kind and really got wrapped up with these people in school, and it just wasn't, I don't even know that she talks to those people anymore. She has a beautiful family. She's a wonderful person. And so I don't hold any animosity against her. I think I probably did at first because we're in this anger stage when we first leave. There's other people that I hold more responsible than this person. So I joined Plexus. I was there for 2 to 3 years. That's where I met Danielle. We became sideline sisters in some challenge that they had us do. They wanted us to just have run, they called them running buddies, someone that wasn't part of your downline or your upline.
So I think that this is interesting to kind of talk about too, because this is a really big like contrast to systems like Amway, because in Amway you're not allowed to talk to other team members. Like, you can only talk to upline and people like in your downline. Like, they really try to keep you tight in because they don't want you to leave. So I think it's really interesting that our teams were so into like making us all talk to each other. Like, it was like pretty much required that we
That's so interesting. And I can see both of them being different kind of culty tactics, because there are some cults that completely compartmentalize, like you're only, but then there's others that like want you to branch and expand and learn things from other people and learn how this person's being successful so that you can grow more. That's definitely both the MLMs I was in were like that.
I also found it really interesting too, like even when we were in it together, it was really weird too, because working together, because neither of us benefited from working with each other. Like, there's no benefit for me talking with you and like collaborating with you on stuff like business wise,
right?
Other than like stealing each other's ideas, which I mean is such a cultural thing in MLMs.
Yes, and I think the other thing is you aren't supposed to complain to your downline. You aren't supposed to complain, like, but they, so you're making all these friends, right? If we're coming from the friend aspect of this, the community aspect, which is the entire reason I was in MLM. So that's a lot of my experience is the community. Oftentimes that's what kept me there though.
Right.
So like, yes, we aren't benefiting in that way, but I think what they saw was, the deeper you grow your roots, the wider you grow your roots, you connect with people over here, you connect with people over there, above you, below you, like you have someone to go to when things get tough, because you can't talk to your downline about it, and half the time your upline doesn't have time for you. So if you have someone who, like, yes, we're not supposed to like talk bad about the MLM, but like someone who you're not going to talk your downline accidentally out of leaving by bitching about having a bad day. Right. You can talk to your sideline about that. And by having that community and kind of growing your roots even deeper into the MLM, for me anyways, my uplines knew that I was there for community. So that's what they weaponized against me. And so they had me go out and create these connections with people, and it kept me in longer.
Yep, I agree. And I think it's interesting too, because I was just thinking about how, like, you know, we often compare these things to like regular 9-to-5 jobs, right? And when you leave a regular 9-to-5 job, like when you have like your work best friend or your work wife or your work husband or whoever, you like kind of grow this little community at your regular 9-to-5 job, and it becomes harder to leave those two. And like, think about like anyone who's had like their work best friend leave. It's like, oh my God, like how is work ever going to be tolerable again? Like, this is gonna suck, you know? And like, you feel really guilty when you on the other end leave, like it's really hard. And like, you know, it really tests your friendships, because there's friendships by proxy of like, I see you every day, Like, yes. This is great. You really get to feed the friendship. Everything's awesome. And I'm not saying that those friendships can't grow outside of that environment, but like,
no, but when your friendship is built into something you do every day, it's different. Right.
It is different. It is different. And then once that doesn't happen anymore, the friendship never really feels quite the same again. It's always changing and different. And it's just interesting how that all works. It's
very interesting.
Yeah.
So I was in Plexus for a couple of years. I had stopped taking the products. That was, you know, I'll kind of come back and touch base on that. I think we did talk about that in the last episode. I just really wasn't feeling it. I hadn't been working my business. I had been really inconsistent with the products. And all of a sudden my, upline number two, who I actually ended up getting closer with than my direct upline, she decided that she was leaving, and she messaged me and was like, you know, I'm just messaging to let you know. I remember exactly where I was. I was pulling into our friend's driveway. He was going to inspect my vehicle, and I was on the phone with her, and I remember where I was. It felt like simultaneously my whole world was crashing down, but also there was this new possibility. And she didn't, when she called me, the way she worded it was not in a sense of like, hey, come with me. It was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how I've been feeling. I don't know if that resonates for you. But I've been really struggling, and I think there's more room to flourish over here.
Oh my God. That's literally the same phone call that we had. Like, you talked to me, and I remember I was like, I don't wear makeup, Emma. Like,
yeah.
I'm not doing this. And you were like, I'm not.
No, but for me, it was, you know, whether someone wore makeup or not, it was like, you were part of the root system that I grew. And like, it felt wrong to go somewhere else without you.
Yeah.
Because like, again, it was about community. Like, yeah, money's whatever. But like, you were part of my root system. Like, how do you just uproot that and go somewhere else without all the connections you made?
Right.
And I never made connections in Lime Life like I did in Plexus. Like, it just was never the same. And I think it's because part of me, like in the back of my head, didn't fully trust it.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, Plexus was supposed to be forever, right? And so when it wasn't, there was like this little bit of like questioning in the back of my mind. So we all most of her team left and went to Lime Life. Which was a little messy.
Hey, I have a question. Do you know if she ended up getting a bridge contract?
I am not aware of one. I do know that she was writing the nutrition plan for the nutrition thing that they released months later. So like, she couldn't talk about, even after she left Plexus, she couldn't talk about Lime Life. We all got started in our businesses and we couldn't say who our upline was because she was still under contract with them to write the nutrition plan for whatever new thing they were launching. I don't know if it ever came to fruition, but I know that she wrote it, and she was afraid that if she spoke about Lime Life, she had left Plexus, but was still writing and under contract to write this nutrition plan for them. So she had to wait. I think we all switched over in like March, and it wasn't till like April, May, June, sometime like later spring, early summer, that she officially announced that she had left.
That's so interesting. I remember that. And I remember it being really scandalous. Like,
and I don't, because we were out of all the chats in the groups by then. So I'm curious to kind of hear your perspective on that. If you can recall anything, like, I don't know any of it because we were kicked out of all the groups.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like, it was a lot of crumbling. Like, nobody would really talk about it, but like, there was just this air of like betrayal and like backstabbiness, and people were all of a sudden got really hush hush. A lot of group chats went silent. Like that was going off all of the time, and then all of a sudden you start seeing all of these people getting removed from stuff, and it's like, what is happening? Like, this is so interesting. So then, like, you know, I'm sitting there being, you know, trying to find Carmen Sandiego over here. I'm like, where are they going? What's happening?
The world is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. I think that's how we should refer to your upline from now on. The
Carmen.
Yeah.
Carmen Sandiego. Carmen Sandiego. Okay, perfect. Let's do it. She's Carmen.
So that's Carmen. Carmen Sandiego is upline number two, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's also hard for me not to say her name because I know she is.
I know.
It's so interesting because normally when I do these, it's like I don't know who people are talking about. But like I just did an episode with my downline Jenny. I don't know if you know yet. But so Jenny actually went to convention with us too, which we'll get to later. Which was so interesting.
I don't want to give away describing character. I met her, right?
Yeah.
My color hair. At the time,
I think that she probably did have your color hair.
Okay, I'm just trying to. Yes, okay, I remember her.
Well, I don't know. I'll send you a picture after. But okay, curly hair.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because there was somebody with blonde hair that has straight blonde hair that's okay. In my upline. But yeah,
no, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, so. Carmen Sandiego left. The group chats were going bananas, but like weird, like because you didn't really get any information. Nobody was talking about any particular MLM that people were going to, but it was just like lots of like trying to keep it professional, but you could tell people's feelings were hurt. And
yep.
It was weird. And nothing was trickling down to like my low rungs of the levels of my pyramid. And so, finally,
isn't it like, funny though that you probably ended up knowing before all of them because I called you like yes. This low rung, like they probably would like a little peon in their eyes.
Yes, that you were the only reason that I had any idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Because when you like you were leaving and like you were kind of telling me like what was happening. So I had this idea of what was going on and I kind of just kept watching to see like what was going to happen. I was like, ooh, this will be fun to just like sit back and watch. Because at that point, I remember that phone call that we had too, where you were like, I don't know, it's just not working for me anymore. Da, 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 da. And we were both kind of like, yeah, but the products, because we were both so hooked on the products.
I still thought I was going to take them and buy from other people.
Yeah, you did. Actually, I think that you were like, I'm just going to keep a customer account or something like that.
Yep.
Couldn't, though.
They shut my accounts down. They blocked me. Closed me out. Couldn't create even a customer account. They blocked my email.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I got locked out of my back office. I couldn't even, like, demote or downgrade my account.
Oh, so as soon as you started promoting another company, they were like, you violated
your contract. I hadn't even started
yet.
I hadn't promoted it yet, but they knew.
Oh, so I bet you those two had honcho nurses.
Yeah. The nurse sisters, they went to corporate and had our accounts all terminated.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's... a lot of people didn't get their last commission checks.
Ooh, you know, like this was so interesting. I bet you if this was happening, if you like were coming out and you were like in the anti-MLM space, like this would have been just as big as when that high level Monet rep got terminated and everyone was going banana pants over that.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the same situation that was happening at that point, like lots of like just like terminations and like backstabbing ish
yes.
type stuff, or like it feels like backstabbing the way the culture is, it makes it feel like backstabbing. Doing things for yourself is not backstabbing.
Exactly.
But when you like when your whole life is this company and you make like you're saying all these roots and then all of a sudden something's like you get this whole root system that's infected by Lime Life.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're nervous that the whole tree's gonna crumble and you know what, honestly that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, it's
did you oh sorry this is ADHD candid land. You know that one of the people that we met in Vegas, I don't know how to talk about her without identifying her. But anyway, she slid into my DMs not that long ago and was trying to get me to go to Q Sciences.
Wait, I want to know who.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you do. You do. So now you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
And it's just so interesting to see, like, these people that, like, you used to look up to, and then they slide into your DMs again, and they try to get you back, and it's so, I was so mad. Like, I was definitely re-trauma triggered by her sliding in, because she was somebody that I looked up to when I was in Plexus, and then she's, like, trying to recruit me to Q Sciences, and I was, like, I just
how
right
recent
in.
How recent was this?
Oh my like, goodness.
Since you started the podcast.
It was in October.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like recent. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were definitely already in your deconstruction.
Yes.
Okay.
And like right away, like she reached out to me. She didn't even pitch, and I was just like, actually, I have a podcast about MLMs and how they're terrible. And if you want to learn more about that, feel free to reach out. Hope you're well. And she starts off her next message with, haha, yeah, no thanks. And then like she goes on to like tell me how great MLMs are. Like, babe, I was in it with you. I know everything you're gonna say.
Oh my god. I could write this pitch for you, honey.
Like, I know exactly what's going on. Like, the funniest one thing that I think is really funny, not the funniest thing, but one of the things I think is really funny is that now that like we as like anti-MLM people would probably be so good at an MLM because now we understand it so much more.
Dude, I like now that I understand the manipulation that I was unknowingly doing, lethal. I could be lethal. I could skyrocket to the top of any MLM.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm struggling at the bottom, baby. I'm going straight for the top, manipulation city.
Yeah, no, like, and understanding exactly what we're doing and how much, like,
which and, like, makes you wonder how much they know, because there's only so much benefit of the doubt that you can give.
Right.
At some point, you have to realize what's going on, and like,
Right? Like, I can't believe it. And, like, I remember when I was doing Plexus and, like, I was going to school, I remember, like, thinking about, like, you know, I need to be really careful because, like, I understand, like, I literally remember thinking this to myself.
Yes.
I understand manipulation and I understand, like, all these things. And I was very, like, I don't want to manipulate people into doing this. Like, and, like, because my upline would be like, oh, like, do this. And I was like, oh, that feels really manipulative. Like, I want somebody to do this because they want to do it. And da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
So, like, that was probably one of the things that shot me in the foot. Because I had so much drive and so, like, success-wise within an MLM. But probably to my benefit of being a good person.
Yes. Exactly. You
know? It's weird to, like, talk about, like, this stuff now knowing that, like, the stuff was like really gross and bad, but like also it's seen as good within the culture. So,
right.
It's so weird.
And I could imagine your upline maybe even having oh, she's going to be a therapist. Like, she's going to be around a lot of vulnerable people. Like, she could probably like weasel her way in there. Cause there was like doctor's offices and like other like very trusted sacred spaces that they had infiltrated. And so like, what's better to infiltrate than the mind of someone vulnerable?
Yeah. You know, it was actually really interesting because at one point, it was before I was a therapist yet. I was like a bachelor's level, like support worker type of situation.
Yep.
And I was seeing kids. And like, I never, ever, ever pitched to my clients or their families or anything like that. Just disclaimer. But I had my pink drink in my Plexus cup and I was drinking it when I like dropped off a kiddo. And the mom comes out and she's like, oh my God, did you get this from my upline? And she's like, oh my God, I'm on her team too. And I was like, what?
World's colliding.
Yeah. And so like anyone that knows, like I had to like then go and block her through all of these groups. And I had to tell her, like, I can't, like, associate with you. Like, that's such a dual relationship. And it felt really sad to be like, oh, I like can't even like connect with this person that's on my team. I had to shut it down. And also it affected like our group stuff, because we did a lot of like in-person local things. Like we would meet every Thursday and all this stuff. So like that person could never be invited to our stuff because I was running everything.
Oh, wow.
So like it is really interesting, and I am like proud of myself for at least having some like real ethical boundaries and recognizing these things and not falling into the like crap of it all, because they don't like, you know, Plexus people, like, you know, they don't care or know or understand like the ethics of being a therapist or being in the mental health field or like HIPAA violations. So like it was just so weird. And also like at the same time too, having to be able, like knowing like if I did accidentally see, like if she got invited to something, whatever, I would have to pretend I didn't know who she was.
Wild. What a unique position to be in. That is crazy.
Right. I mean, luckily she never came to anything, so I I wasn't actually put in that situation, thank goodness. But well, that's like
stressful to even contemplate that situation.
It's really stressful because my upline was very much ingrained in our community. And this is not where I thought I was going to go today.
No, it's fine.
But like unlocking new parts of my story, which is what happens every time I talk to you. But anyway, so my upline was really ingrained in our community. So like she was really recruiting a lot through our community. And both of my uplines were like very ingrained in the community.
Yes.
And then I'm working in the that community that they're ingrained in. And they don't have these like ethical dilemmas tying them back from their real jobs and their recruitment stuff.
Gotcha. So okay.
Then I'm coming in and all of a sudden, like I like start touching on these people and I'm like, oh my God, like this is feeling really yucky. eventually I was able to like switch catchment areas and like switch to a different part of the catchment area that they weren't as
ingrained in.
Yeah, like it, like even just changing towns of like the town, like I was able to like go to the next town over, and it was like not like didn't have the problem at all, so that was good. And I did like I really tried to make a lot of like distance between that, because it was like very anxiety provoking for me to be like I could run into a client's family.
Yeah, that is super stressful.
So stressful. Anyways, I don't even know how we got here.
Oh, it's so wild to like just go back and recall all the little like warning signs that we had, all the little like where that voice was still there. And like good on you for sticking to the ethics of your job and you know, and staying true to that. I don't know where we had left off.
I know. Well,
yeah, Limelight. Oh, the transition to Limelight. So I was there for a couple of years. I was a makeup artist in the salon already, so it was a natural fit. I went to their convention. And that was the start of the downfall. It was awful. It was clicky. It was mean girly. It was like nothing like the Plexus. Like if you thought that was bad, the Limelight convention was awful. At least I came back from the Plexus convention having met you in person. I felt like my roots had gone deeper after the Plexus convention. I felt like my whole damn tree was chopped down after the Limelight convention. A lot of people left after, sideline people that I had really deeply connected with.
So what do you think was the reason that so many people like ended up leaving after the convention? Because the convention is supposed to reel you in and like get you deeper and deeper. So how did that backfire in your
mind? My personal, I can't speak for everyone else, but in my personal experience, I I had already done this before. So I was looking for something different. I was looking for them to actually teach me something. I spent all this money to go travel to Denver, Colorado, stay in this nice Airbnb. Like I spent all this money, had gone to this convention, and I was begging them to give me a reason to stay. I wanted them to teach me something new. I was having the same problems that I had in Plexus. I was not growing. I was doing all the things they told me to, and there was nothing coming from it. And I was waiting for that new piece of information. Like, it was just the same regurgitated bullshit that I had heard in Plexus. And I was like, okay, this doesn't really feel the same, but like the people, you know, I was there, you know, the people, my friends. And then I saw who my friends were. And all the sideline people that I really cared about left. Granted, they company hopped again. These were people I had met in Lime Life. They were not Plexus people. And a handful of them left. And so there was a mass exodus. So I got to be on the inside watching what it was probably like when I left Plexus. It was a handful of people that left. I just was feeling really down on myself. I was feeling like I was a failure. Like, who goes through two companies and doesn't make it to the top of one of them?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Because they make it seem like there's room for everybody at the top. So like, why is there not a spot for me? What am I doing wrong? How am I failing? I'm showing up every day. I'm putting 30 plus hours a week into this on top of my full-time job.
Right.
Like, I am running myself ragged. I'm exhausted. I'm burning out. And I don't know how to resolve the issue. And so I would bring it to my upline and her upline. So upline number one actually ended up joining under me in Lime Life. Oh. So my upline from high school, she actually ended up joining under me temporarily. She didn't last very long. Her mom also joined under me, under her, and she stayed for a while. Lovely woman. So what did we say? Oh, Carmen San Diego. Yeah. So, you know, when I went to Carmen San Diego and her upline, this woman was very, if you guys aren't familiar with the color personalities, I'm about to, she was very red. She's very like money.
My name was red.
Yeah, exactly. She was very like matter of fact, this is what you do. And, you know, she had found her success. That's why Carmen San Diego left Plexus, was because she saw this upline, this woman posting about how much she made. She was posting screenshots of her paycheck before that was against, you know, FTC or whatever, before it was against compliance, or probably was, but that's when they cracked down on it in Lime Life. Yeah. Anyway. So our whole team came over because this woman was posting screenshots of her check, and she just was very like not about compassion or community. Like, she would say it herself, I'm here because of the money. And so
that really makes me think that she probably had a bridge contract.
I know, I wonder. I never asked. She was always very open with us and never mentioned it.
Well, you're not allowed to. You usually have to sign an NDA.
Oh, okay. Maybe. So yeah, I don't know.
But is she still in Carmen San Diego?
So she doesn't post on her social media a lot anymore. I actually, for some reason, randomly was like, oh, I'll go look at her page like a week or two ago. She posted like one thing about Lime Life, like back in December. She's posted like one thing about her kids since then. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's like technically still like in the company, like just buying herself product. She certainly is not advertising it.
And that's,
or if she's just done in general.
And that's something that we see a lot in some of these top leaders, is that all of a sudden they go quiet.
They go quiet. Yep.
Publicly, but it's because they are working overtime advertising to their people in their groups. They don't need to advertise publicly anymore. We're the ones recruiting everyone for them.
Yep.
So they just need to take care of everyone in the groups. And in fact, that's almost easier for them.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they just need to like be very selective, and they can just cold message a couple of people and be like, hey, by the way, I'm at the top of the pyramid. Do you want to join? You know, so that they can.
Yes.
Like,
they don't have to do all of the. Yeah.
And grow their legs wider. All that stuff.
Correct. Yes. So, yeah, it was just, you know, I would reach out for help.
I just want to go back to that for 1 second, because I think that that's something that a lot of people in the anti-MLM space might not even recognize, because in anti-MLM world, where people are making contents about top creators, these are top creators that are doing the exact opposite. Like, they're doing what they're telling their downlines to do. And that's why they're able to make all this content about them. And that's why I think some of these top leaders don't do that in some of these organizations, like in Plexus, like our very upline tippity top does not post anymore. Does like very, very rarely will
right.
post something. And that way people can't make content about them.
Right. Yes.
So that's something to kind of look for when you're seeing these people, like when you know the person that owns the Lamborghini or whatever fancy car they advertise, and all of a sudden they're like barely posting anymore, and they only post like very, you know, commercialized stuff.
Yeah.
And very rarely will post about their company. Like, they're doing scammy stuff on the background, and they probably know that the anti-MLM community will see them and snatch them right up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So when I would go, and that's the thing, is like, there was always this sort of, Carmen Sandiego had also kind of like stepped back, and like, she wasn't showing up in her business. So like, a lot of us weren't showing up in our businesses. And like, she was still, you know, she was making her way to the top of that compensation plan. But she was still small within that company. Mm-hmm. She was fairly well known and ingrained in the Plexus community. I think that was actually really hard for her when she left, because she didn't have this notoriety that she had previously, except for the fact that she was the girl that like Lime Life, like, I swear the amount of people that followed her over, like, it was just this massive wave. Lime Life had never had a team this big all move at once.
Yeah.
So that was what we were known for, was we were, you know, it was this whole thing. So I was feeling really down. I was asking for help. She wasn't really showing up in her business. So like, I would start asking the person above her for help. Now this person was a red personality. She was driven. She was, you know, it was about the money. She was bold. She, you know, kind of just would step forward fearlessly. She's very like, it's been so long since I've read them. I can't remember the exact breakdowns of all the color personalities, but like, I'm a blue yellow. Like, I'm very community and loving and embracing. And, she knew that about me. And she, anytime I'd try to leave, she, not only would she talk me into staying and, you know, sort of breathe life back into me and my business. I didn't realize it at the time, but the very last time it happened, I every single time was offered to do a live training in the big group. I'm talking head honcho, top of the company, mermaid hair lady. She, actually the Mermaid Collective was the name of our group. The Mermaid something, I can't remember. Mermaid Collective. When I joined, she had like, anyway, mermaid hair. So anyways, I did tons of trainings in this group that this woman and my upline, so upline number two, and then she's technically upline number four. So we were actually pretty close to the top, closer than I was in Plexus to the top, or at least closer with the people at the top.
Yeah.
And they would just like breathe life back into my business by saying like, but why would you, don't give up? Like, look how far you've come, and look how many people you could inspire if you got on here and talked about like your trials. We want you to be open about that. We want you to talk about it. we don't encourage you to shy away from talking about your hard times here. We know that there's hard seasons. We want you to talk about them and how you got through them. Be the voice for other people. And so like, it actually became this whole thing about like, I was never somebody who could solidify a why. If you've been in an MLM, you're supposed to, your why is supposed to make you cry. And I never found anything that like, I didn't have children. I didn't have all these major bills. Like I wasn't in debt. I just was living my life. I was in my early 20s and I just wanted extra money, probably to go drinking on the weekend. I never had this big grand why. And so like within Lime Life, I coined the term an on the fly why, which is like, and it sort of became a thing like within that leg of Lime Life for all the people who never had like a solid reason to keep them going. Like we're in our 20s, we're young, things change, our interests change, like our why might change all the time. That doesn't mean that we can't be passionate and driven in our business. And so I coined the term like on the fly why, and like that why could change week to week, and that's what you stay anchored in. You don't always have to have this same like grandiose, you know, why. Your why can just be that you love being here, and that there's like one week it might be, I want to go do this. And one week it might be, oh, cool, there's this concert I want to go to. Oh, like it doesn't have to be this big emotional thing. It can just be. So I did trainings on this. I did whole trainings on like, you know, you don't have to have this big why. You can just kind of fly by the seat of your pants. Like, I did trainings on lots of things. I did trainings on how I almost quit and how I didn't give up. And I'd get on these team calls and I would bawl my eyes out. I'd get on a live on in these groups and I would bawl my eyes out. I'm actually still in some of those groups too. And I have access to those videos. I have gone back and watched them before just as part of like my deconstruction process. But,
wow. Wait, hold on. Let's sit in that for a second.
Yeah.
So they would have you go on there and like it's so interesting because it is a little bit different from the typical like rags to riches sob story that they would typically have people tell. Like they would have you go on there and essentially like display your cognitive dissonance and then why it was wrong and how you stayed in.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
And it worked. I stayed for a whole, maybe almost a year after that. I went in 2018. So I stayed for more than a year because I didn't leave until 2020.
Yeah.
I started the last 6 months of them really kind of grasping at straws to get me to stay. So I stayed for about a year after that. It was 6 months before I finally discontinued my account, but I was done. But yeah, I'd get on these lives and I'd talk about, I'd be open and honest and raw about like how hard it was to continue. And I was trying to appeal to, well, I was just told to tell my story. Now I realize what they wanted me to do was appeal to all the other people who felt that way because they knew how many other people were this close to quitting. And so if you see this person that these uplines, like they lifted me up and put me on a damn pedestal and I didn't technically like, this is going to say, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it by MLM standards. I wasn't at the top. I wasn't like, I didn't have a big following. But they knew that that was more relatable. So they used me as this person, like at, I was one of the people at convention that people were coming up to and taking pictures with and telling me that I was the reason that they joined.
Okay. But we need to add in a little bit here too, is that Emma is very talented at makeup, like okay, so you know, like at Halloween time when like everyone does those like really cool, elaborate full out faces that like you're like a mermaid caught in a net or you have like a knife sticking out of your head. Like Emma knows how to do that and she knows how to do it good in like it's extremely impressive. So
thank
not
you.
Only did you recruit people by and like get people to stay in by saying like, hey, like I'm here still, blah, 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 blah. But also you have really impressive makeup artist skills. And I'm assuming that has to do with you being in the field that you're in, that not everyone has. So everyone's looking at you going, oh my god, Emma's here. Like, well, Emma can do
I was
makeup.
The That's team so cool. makeup artist. So yeah. I did all of our power hours, all of our, so like I did, this is like on a smaller scale. This is on like Carmen Sandiego's team. Okay. Yeah. I was the one who did team trainings on like makeup techniques. So I was sharing all these makeup techniques with the other beauty guides so that they had the tools to go out and teach other people. I was also the person who did all of the tutorials in the recruitment, the events, the team events.
Yeah.
So like we would all, it would be like an hour long thing. They'd come in, you'd invite all your friends, online parties. We all know how they work. And I was the person that went live as a makeup artist. So there's that validity behind yep. my word. My professionalism was basically weaponized.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people who joined because they saw my videos in the team event. So they would be invited by a friend, who was also, a fellow beauty guide, would invite their friends. Their friends would see me as a professional makeup artist talking about all the possibilities here. I even have people who ended up going to school and got, because you can't do, lots of states you can't do makeup on people without a license.
Mm-hmm.
So being a beauty guide, you can't just go do makeup on people. But like they saw my passion for it, my passion for the products. They joined Lime Life, and then they ended up going to school to get their either estheticians or cosmetology license so
Which
that
is
they
probably
could...
the best thing that ever happened to them if they're that interested in it.
Yes. And they've gone on to be like incredible makeup artists. And so like, you know, these people would come up to me at convention, you know, my looks were always being shared. I made very, you know, not to toot my own heart, but I made very impressive graphics like before and afters, and was really educating people on a mass scale on the product and why I as a professional thought it was the bee's knees. And I actually still do, but not Lime Life. Lime Life partners with another company that is very well known in the makeup world. So they've taken the formula from RCMA, which is the Research Council for Makeup Artists, and reformulated their product. They work with them. Lime Life, I guess I should backtrack a little bit for those who don't know about Lime Life. Lime Life by Alcone used to just be a brick and mortar store in New York for makeup artists. Their makeup was used on the set of Star Wars. They were basically like Ulta, but only for people with a professional license.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their own line, but then they also, like Ulta has their own brand, but they also sell Tarte. They also sell Urban Decay. It was the same exact thing. So they would sell this product from RCMA to makeup artists. They decided they wanted to go the MLM route, and they say it was because they wanted their makeup artists to be able to retail product.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they say it. It used to be Alcone at Home. It wasn't even an MLM, or it was, but not on that scale. And then they rebranded to Lime Life by Alcone. So it is a professional product. That's not all just smoke and mirrors. It is a professional product, but it's been... I'm really disappointed that RCMA partnered with them, actually, as a professional, because to me, as much as their product is amazing, and I still have plenty of makeup artist friends who use to buy directly from RCMA, it sort of cheapens it a little bit.
Well, that's what I wonder, too. And I also wonder if you noticed any, like, in your opinion, if you noticed anything like the product change over time.
So they reformulated. They say it was to take out all the parabens and whatever, but like reality is they couldn't sell it as is. They couldn't market it as their own if it was the exact same formula as RCMA. Same as the setting spray was from Skindinavia, the brand called Skindinavia. It's the same company that makes Urban Decay. And so like that was a big thing that we would say is like, oh, it's the same setting spray as the All Nighter from Urban Decay. Like, it's made by the same company. It's not the same formula. It's just, it's disappointing now to look back. And I have friends who, again, like they still just order directly from RCMA. And right. Honestly, I think anybody can go do that. You get a discount as a professional, but you don't need a license to go buy from the RCMA website. You don't have to buy from Lime Life. You can just literally just go get the exact same product. I actually think the original formula works better. you could just buy it right from the RCMA website. So, yeah, it was just kind of interesting to watch that all unfold. And like I said, like, I was at convention, like, looking for that thing that was going to keep me there. And part of it was, like, I was being put on this pedestal. And every time I wanted to leave, I was reminded of how amazing I am. And they wouldn't be able to do this without me. Like, look at the amount of people that I've brought in. I'm like, that I've brought in for other people. I'm not seeing, you know, like, I'm not seeing the growth. You know, yes, I mean, my team was growing. I was growing, but it wasn't like anything sustainable. And I was putting all, I mean, countless hours. This is nothing I ever experienced in Plexus, because I was putting countless hours in for other people and I wasn't reaping the benefits because I was so busy doing the trainings that I actually didn't have time to work my business. So I was basically just this martyr for, like, here, like, let's use Emma in every way that we can, milk her, like, dry. Like, it was just, I was, the life was being sucked out of me. It was awful. But then they would remind me how amazing I was and how far I've come, and look what you've created, look at how you've changed so many lives, and, like, get on there and talk about that, like, tell them how close you were to quitting. And I did, I got on a live and I cried, and I still remember, like, the feeling of, like, sharing with these people that I love and care about. People are on there like, I'm feeling the same way, like, I can't believe I almost left, like, I'm so grateful for you, thank you for sharing, thank you for being vulnerable, like, you're the reason I stayed. Yeah. I actually don't know the exact moment at which I realized, but I talk about it in the other episode, the QAnon episode, because that was a very big part of my leaving.
Right.
And a very brief recap for those who you can go, there's a whole multi episode on this. But my upline got sucked into QAnon, which is I don't even want to get into political stuff, but it's a really dangerous movement. And I realized that I was already doubting everything. And then to realize this upline who I trusted with everything, my business, my secrets, my world, you know, like, she got roped into this really confusing thing that didn't have any, there was no validity behind what she and they were saying, like, and I was sitting there like, I'm already feeling like a failure in this MLM. Maybe it's not all on me.
Right.
And then as algorithms and or the universe does, some anti-MLM content popped up on my YouTube. Never had searched for it. Never had looked for it. I didn't watch it at first. I had rewatched the Scientology documentary, docuseries. And I was like, oh, that's kind of happening to me. I had already seen it before. I was rewatching it.
You had your Roberta Blevins moment.
Yes, I had my Roberta Blevins moment. And then it all just started trickling in. The universe just sort of started sending one thing after another to me. And, you know, here I was again in this vulnerable state. And I decided I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. And from there, you know, that's when we had the conversation that we had shortly after. And I ended up joining a blessing circle after. And you want to know the best part?
Yeah.
As I was in, you know, I had left Lime Life. I had left Plexus. I left Lime Life. I almost got roped into QAnon. Then I joined this blessing circle. I also was in, I paid like $600 for some person, some business life coach to teach me how to be a life coach.
Oh my God.
So like every possible like culty avenue that I could go down, and nothing against life coaches. There are some very, you know, whatever if that's for you. But like, I was in no position to be teaching anyone anything about their life. Like, I understand there's some very niche things. Like, I'm looking into someone to talk to regularly about my fertility struggles. Someone who's been through that and can share their experience with me. But, like, just a generalized life coach. Like, who did I think I was? Like, I had just, quote unquote, failed massively at these two big business ventures. I almost got roped into another cult. I was in another whatever. It was just one thing at, but I was just searching, trying to latch onto any sense of community that I could. And that's when I realized, and almost in a spiritual sense too, I needed a solo journey. I was terrified of going about life on my own. And I say that not in like a relationship way. I've been in a very loving and healthy relationship through all of this. You know, I need to pick his brain sometime about what that looks like, but what that looked like for him watching me go through that. We joke about it now, but I'm surprised we're still together after all that. Anyway,
kind of want to circle back for a second about the QAnon stuff and about what we're seeing now in the MLM space. I don't know a ton about this. I'm not, as all of you know, I'm not an investigative person. If I see something, I'll talk about it, but I'm not going to dive all the way in. I don't have the time for that. So very interesting. And I hope that more people like look into this and cover it more and just bring more light to it. But so one of the things that I have found out recently, which I have mentioned, I believe, is that Moms for Liberty, which is essentially a QAnon offshoot group that has some very dangerous beliefs, is being run through MLM Facebook pages.
Yep.
In some ways, allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, like, you know, it's really interesting how these like culty, like really culty, dangerous groups are starting in MLM spaces. And it's really scary because not only are we in a cult by being in an MLM, but then like they're using that brainwash, that manipulation, that baseline that the MLM already set up for you to like further dump you down the rabbit hole into these culty groups. And I think that it could be like anything. Like these could easily turn into like terrorist groups. I feel like it's really scary.
Well, it's an interesting conversation when I saw everyone talking about, you know, Facebook limiting people's ability, freedom of speech, and what's acceptable online and what's not. Like, I understand that people felt like their rights were maybe being taken away from them. You couldn't say anything online anymore. But those people don't realize how quickly a normal everyday person can see this dangerous rhetoric that, I mean, of course, people saying it don't think it's dangerous. They think it's the truth and that they're
helping people,
doing the Lord's work by by sharing it. So to them, that's their truth. And I understand that. I don't necessarily respect it, but I understand it. Because I felt a sense of responsibility too when I first got sucked into QAnon to like share it with everyone and like warn them. Same as people in an MLM might feel obligated to tell and share, to spread the gospel, right? Like this has changed my life. I want it to change yours. So it all sort of relates back to one another. But it's when people get upset that there's more fact checkers and whatnot online. I understand that people feel like a narrative's being controlled, and I'm not saying that that doesn't happen in media. It certainly does. But until you've seen firsthand the swift impact that these high control groups have over a mass amount of people, you can't even comprehend. And again, just go back. I'm not going to recap everything about QAnon. Go back and listen to the episode. But like, it is highly manipulative and extremely dangerous. And I went from having friends who were normal everyday MLMers, normal everyday people who, within a matter of months, I watched them say in group chats that they wish they could have bought flights to be at the insurrection at the Capitol so that they could have been on the right side of history.
Which is,
that is why
I have chills.
Social media has put their foot down on information. I know it part of it feels wrong to me too. You know, yeah. Freedom of speech. That's we're here in America. But like, it's a terrorist act to attack our own capital.
Yeah.
So are we protecting freedom of speech? Or are we protecting the sanctity of our nation? Like, there's plenty of things about the United States that I don't agree with. I do not think we live in the best, you know, the best country in the world. I'm not, you know, number one America supporter all the time. I'm not. But at the same time, when you see these groups that think that they are, they think that that's their, you know, they're trying to make it great again, whatever. It can be really, really dangerous. And so again, I just heard about this group that you were talking about briefly before we started here. I'm definitely gonna look into it a little bit more. Because if it has similar roots, it could be a very dangerous thing. And
they've already done some pretty dangerous stuff in the state of Florida, and they are trying to spread to other states as well. And they have been successful in spreading to other states, which is really, really concerning and scary.
And when you trust someone wholeheartedly, like your upline,
yeah,
and you're there for community, and the community starts shifting its narrative, you go with them at first, you right. know. Luckily, I still had enough of my internal guidance system left to be like, no, we do not believe that Ellen DeGeneres is eating babies to harvest chemicals. Like, but like, oh, there's a part of you that it takes a few minutes to be like, wait, what? And so if this is happening specifically in MLM groups, you know, ours was a group comprised of mostly MLM people. It was like we called it a conspiracy and chill or something like that. It was supposed to be an open platform to talk about like
aliens,
Area 51, the Montauk Project. Did Avril Lavigne die and has she had a body double for the last 20 years? Like, it's like,
like that's stupid
stuff, right? Like, I call it conspiracy light now because like, you can't even say conspiracy theory anymore without it like associating with QAnon.
Yeah.
But like, it was just open-mindedness to possibilities. And now it's, you're like all the way down the rabbit hole. So like I said, I mean, I watched really incredible humans fall very quickly because of what was being said online. So I don't, as much as I want people to be able to, you know, freedom of speech, say what you want, it's also very dangerous, and we're heading in a really dangerous direction.
Yeah.
So,
we're like kind of getting towards the end of our time for today. So there's definitely going to be another part to this.
Yeah.
The info dumping that we have planned did not happen.
No.
But I do think this was really important because although you recapped like part of the story that people might already know, we also talked about some stuff that we've never talked about before. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
So is there any final thoughts for today before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think there's a few things I want to briefly touch on that maybe we can go into more in the future. But just to sort of round out, you know, I went a little bit in depth as far as like my journey in MLM, but it very much transitions to my journey outside of MLM, which again, we'll talk about. And I think like you said, a whole second episode, because so much of my deconstruction has been unearthing these tactics. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll go through and every time an MLM memory pops up, they'll delete it. I purposely leave them because I like to dissect what's happened in those posts. Right. I have recently started sharing some of them just to be like, hey, Sorry, I manipulated you guys. I recognize it now. Sorry about that. Or I screenshot it and I send it to you.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a whole, there's a whole journey of just unpacking all of this and being able to talk about it in depth is, and lean into someone else's recollection of the same event is helpful as well. But that's been a huge thing for me. The biggest blessing I gave myself was the permission to not always be on.
Right. And I think that's what this next episode is really going to be about, is
yes.
about how, like, and there's definitely going to be some info dumping. We want to share, like, all of the things that I know, specifically more so that Emma has found out, but also things that I've learned along the way that maybe I haven't shared, or maybe I feel important to share again. I really want to contrast the way I've processed my being an MLM online, and Emma has really taken the time to process offline,
yeah.
and kind of show those two roads and make sure that you all know, like, there's no right way to do this. There are so many different ways that you can process what you've gone through and what your healing journey can look like. And as long as your eyes are on the prize of being healthy, mentally and physically and communitively, you're heading in the right direction. And I'm really excited to share that with you guys before I wrap up this podcast, because that's what it's all about. Like, this podcast was about how do people heal, and how do people's mental health, like, get affected by these journeys, and what do we do after? So I'm just so thankful for everyone for listening. And although we're almost done with this podcast, this is not the last episode today. So I look forward to chatting with you guys again in the upcoming weeks about all of this stuff. And I hope that you enjoyed this. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you.